Hey guys, welcome back to the One Hope for America podcast. I'm really excited to just talk to you about what happened this last weekend in Phoenix, Arizona. It was our first event, and it was just an awesome time. We gathered in a CTF Church for the Nations Church, and Peter Mattis led worship. A bunch of people came together. And I was planning on just presenting the vision for One Hope for America, just sharing the heart of it. And I really began to have this sense earlier in that day that people were going to get born again. I was kind of like, oh, I mean, it's a meeting for believers where I was going to cast a vision and just take my first step. But I began to just listen to the Lord. And anyways, I got into the message that night. Worship was powerful. God's presence was really strong. People were just hungry for God and got into the messages. And as I was speaking, I begin to share just the heart of what happened in the first Great Awakening, George Whitefield, and just blazing a trail through the 13 colonies, and how his heart and the message that he shared was simple. It's the same message Billy Graham preached. It's the same message many other evangelists preached. You must be born again. And I stopped, and I just begin to just share what it means to be born again. And just the simple gospel, John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, referring to Numbers 21, where the children of Israel were in the wilderness, and they sinned against God, releasing fiery vipers into the camp. And, you know, Moses lifted up the snake on the pole, and many who looked to it were healed, and Christ needs to be lifted up. This is the gospel. Christ is lifted up. The curse goes to him on the cross. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So I preached the gospel. I gave an altar call, and 20 people responded. It was a bunch of young people. I'm sitting there, and I just began to lead people to the Lord, begin to break strongholds, cast out demons, and people were getting rocked. There was a lot of young people there. There was older people in there, I don't know, one guy in his mid-30s or early 30s, something like that. Anyways, people were just getting born again. It was a powerful moment. Afterwards, I began to call out words of knowledge just for healing, and the presence of God came to heal. It was significant. I called out eyes. Somebody there has a problem with your eyes, and your eyes healed, and I called out several other things, but there was two things that were significant, two significant miracles that happened. Two different types of miracles that happened at the event. One was a lady was there, and I put this on my Instagram page if you saw it. A lady was there who had been in a car accident, and when she takes her glasses off, she gets immediately dizzy. She had prisms in her glasses to stop her from getting dizzy, and when she takes her glasses off, she gets dizzy. So then after prayer, took her glasses off, she wasn't dizzy. She came up front. She sat there just sharing with the whole crowd how this is a miracle that I can just stand here and not be dizzy without my glasses on. It's tough being, you know, a mom, baby keeps knocking the glasses off her face and she, you know, gets dizzy. So, I mean, that was awesome. Here she is standing there with no glasses, not dizzy. Praise God. And then the other miracle that was bizarre was I called out somebody's having problems with their nose, with like their nostrils. And one person after another began to come up and share how God healed their nose. One guy, he got nosebleeds in the intense heat. He lives in Phoenix, Arizona, and his right nostril was just, he couldn't breathe out of it in the meeting. And then he got prayer, and it immediately opened up, and he really believes God healed him. I mean, it opened up right during prayer, and he could breathe. A mom came to me Sunday morning and said that her son was at church, that service on Friday night. And the mom said that her son had burned his nose, destroyed his nose, sniffing chemicals and drugs back in the day, and then he got saved and set free from it. And for the last, I don't know, she said 3 to 5 years or so, his nose, not doing drugs now, but his nose has been destroyed from the years past. He would breathe, and it was just always sensitive. He couldn't even touch his nose. It was always in such pain. I called out that word for nasal problems, and he thought to himself, well, I guess that's me. He stood up, and he gets instantly healed, and all the pain leaves. His mom was just sitting there Sunday morning, just like all of his pain left. But one person after another, it was bizarre. I didn't count, so I want to be honest and say I didn't count. But it felt like it could be a low number 4, high number 6 of of people that got healed from nasal problems. So the most significant miracles that happened in the room were sight and smell. And I thought, Lord, are you prophetically saying something here? I don't know, but I do know that it's something pretty cool that you could test out right away. So it was an amazing night, just to see God touch people. And then Saturday morning, we equipped and trained the church. And the biggest thing that we did was we just really talked about identity in Christ, who you are in Christ, that after you put your faith in Jesus and you come to know the Lord, your heart has been transformed. Christ now lives on the inside of you, and it's time to renew your mind. Romans chapter 12 says, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And that's the place where most believers trip. We continually pray, "Oh God, give me a new heart. I'm evil," because we believe lies about ourselves. When we believe Scripture, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new." And I've often joked and said that many believers and even leaders read that verse like this: "If any man be in Christ, he's kind of a new creation. Some things pass away. Behold, some things become new," because we really don't honestly believe that our sin nature is dead with Christ on the cross, buried in a grave called baptism, and that we are resurrected in the newness of life with a new nature on the inside. A nature of a saint, the nature of one who just wants to please God, who lives to please God. That's what happens to a life when they get born again. You can find this all throughout Romans chapter 5 and Romans chapter 6. This is the Christian life, that a person who's put their faith in Jesus. Romans 6 tells us that we are dead to the old man, buried with him in baptism, united with him in death, burial, and resurrection, and are now one with Christ. And then it says in Romans 6:11, "Reckon yourselves dead to sin," like dead to it. So consider yourselves, reckon yourselves like you're dead to it. Like it's like a third shoe, you have no need for it. And so that's how you view yourself. The problem is a lot of believers today still believe that their sin nature is at work, that they're in this constant wrestling match, that they're always battling the old man. And if you believe you're battling an old man who's still alive inside of you, you're going to continually struggle with identity problems, because anytime you have a temptation or a thought or a feeling that's not right, you're going to immediately begin to repent and think it's you, and then take on an identity that I just am a terrible person and the blood of Jesus had no effect on my life and did I ever really get born again? When the reality is, you're not caught in an old nature, in an old man. You are renewing your mind. And any thought, Steve Backlund says, that doesn't glisten with hope is under the influence of a lie and is the stronghold of a devil that is stronger than the devil himself. When we make agreements with those thoughts and feelings or accusations that are not you, that are a lie or a temptation, then what we actually do is we form a stronghold in our mind about ourselves. Now, I'm talking about after you give your life to Christ. Before you give your life to Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 that we are held in bondage and we are moved by the spirit of disobedience. And so, getting born again, it doesn't mean that you can't sin anymore. It means that you're just not going to be any good at it anymore. It means that if you do sin, you're going to feel conviction, man. I mean, the Spirit of God's going to touch you and you're going to be like, "Ah, I don't want this. What am I doing?" And you're going to repent and get right with God. But there's a lot of things going on in the atmosphere. And if you think and feel, walk in this world at all, there's going to be things that swirl around you that are actually not you. And it's important that we have discernment to know what's the atmosphere, what's, something I've submitted to and I need to repent of, what's a lie that I just need to break out of my mind and renew my thoughts with. So, anyways, that's important. So that's a lot of what we talked about on Saturday morning, just renewing yourself in who Jesus says you are once you've been born again. This is the overflow of evangelism. This is like when a believer begins to discover who they are in their identity in Christ, man, they just overflow in a lifestyle of gratitude. Like, whoa, I'm born again. Jesus lives inside of me. And we get excited about the Lord and what he's done in our lives. You know, statistics say that most believers in their first year in Christ share their faith more times than they do the rest of their lives. I determined when I was a young man, man, I do not want that to be my life. And I can honestly say that in my older years, I still share my faith all the time. That's never something I've turned off. I don't talk to every single person I see about Jesus, but I do go after the ones God highlights for me or just take risk in normal life. Anyways, you know, just this was the overflow of evangelism. So when people begin to discover on Saturday morning in Phoenix who they are in Christ, joy begin to well up in their hearts. Because that's what the kingdom of God looks like. Romans 14, 17 says, the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking. In other words, it's not about obeying certain laws or what you do or don't do. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, when a person gets born again, births righteousness inside of you from what you believe about Jesus and what he's done in your life. That righteousness is right standing with God, face to face. And when you know you're right with God, you're face to face right with God, joy and peace is the result. But when you believe, you're still condemned, you're still accused, you're still shamed, all that. That's the fastest way to lose joy. And so that's what we talked about Saturday morning a lot. And then we talked about how to overflow into that lifestyle and then how to share the gospel through your faith, through your story. And then we ended on talking about power evangelism and just equipped everybody that the Holy Spirit's inside of you, how to take risk, how to begin to move in words of knowledge, how to flow in, you know, gifts of power, praying for people on the streets. And then we sent people out. They went out to lunch and just took risk as they went. And then we came back afterwards and they shared testimonies, man. It was so exciting seeing teenagers out there taking risk. And some of these kids getting rejected by older people, and it hurt. And then we got to talk through what that looked like. And then they all got encouraged. And then this one girl, she took a risk and she looked at somebody and she said, excuse me, I feel like you're somebody in your family is battling cancer. Is that true? And the lady said to her, no, but my sister has a tumor. Isn't that cancer? And so she got encouraged, knowing that she got a word of knowledge right. Anyways, it was just a powerful time. People were encouraged. I was encouraged. People got born again. They discovered who they were in Christ. It was a great time in Phoenix, Arizona. So grateful for all the people that came. Here's what's on my heart next. I'm looking for pastors, business leaders, different people in different churches across America who want to partner with me with One Hope for America to see revival touch your region. I have access to a tent that can seat 1,000 people. It can seat 500 comfortably, but it can do 1,000. If you got the flaps up, you can put people all around it. It can be even bigger than that, bigger than 1,000, 1,500 or something like that. I'm looking for pastors and leaders that say, we want revival in our region. We want to reach our city. And I'm looking to partner with people in faith and go to your city, wherever that is in America, and bring the gospel of the kingdom with power and with purity, for a couple of reasons: to see the people in your church grow in their identity in Christ, but also learn how to share their faith and then go into their city, do the stuff, release the kingdom, see miracles happen through the people in your church, and then invite your communities to a tent gathering where I'll bring the worship team. And it's going to be legit, good, powerful, anointed worship that brings the glory of God, breaks chains, drives demons out of people's lives. And then we're going to preach the gospel and see Jesus exalted. Miracles, signs, and wonders will happen because that's what follows the preaching of the gospel. God's going to confirm his word. And we're going to see new believers, people get born again and plugged into your church. I'm looking for pastors and leaders that would say, Tom, that's what we want in our city. I'll bring the ministry. I need pastors and leaders who are all in, who say, yes, let's go for it. So if you're watching this right now, you can DM me on Instagram. and just contact me that way. Yeah, just do that and let me know you're interested, and then we'll take your information and begin to pray into it and connect. Especially, listen, if you're a Bethel Leader Network pastor, I'd really love to connect with you. You're already connected with this house and running with culture, but if you're not, that's totally fine too. We just want to see America saved. And you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 talks about that the God of this world has blinded the eyes of people that are in captivity. And those minds, whose minds the God of this age has been blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. When Christ shines on a person, and they turn to the Lord, the veil gets removed and they can see. And so that's what I want to see happen. I just want to see people in America saved. I want to see America saved. How are we going to see that? Listen, we can, you know, vote for a red wave or vote for a blue wave and keep kicking the political can down the road. But the bottom line is we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is a realm in the atmosphere higher than politics. It is the realm of the spirit, where as believers, we need to stand. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we need to stand as parents, moms, dads, leaders, pastors, and declare and proclaim the gospel of the kingdom and release truth and let the power of God come and confirm his word. I don't have a right to preach opinions in the pulpit. I am commissioned by God and assigned to preach the fullness of the word of God. And that's what pierces and penetrates darkness and rides above all the stuff that we're seeing happen right now. We get so distracted by all the stuff in the second heaven realm. We need to go higher, higher into the third heaven realm. What I'm talking about is where God dwells, and stay seated in that place, and then bring heaven to earth. And so God bless you guys. Thanks for hanging out with me and listening. Share this with a friend that's hungry for a revival, that wants to see Jesus move. I believe that we're going to see college campuses impacted by revival, high schools, junior highs. I believe we're going to see people's workplace, families, cities, neighborhoods. People are going to begin to use their social media page to release miracles. I've seen people healed from a word of knowledge I got on TikTok not too long ago about somebody's lungs, and a woman was sitting there watching it and got healed in her lungs. It was amazing that God moved that way. And so God bless you guys, and we'll see you next time.